Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
First, what do you first think of when you wake up in the morning? First, who is first in your life? What's your first priority when you get to work? What do you first look for when you open the refrigerator? If on Monday, when we first think of, oh my, Monday, I'm thinking of Friday, I've got 5 days of work to have to get through, then you know it's going to be a long week. The sense of what we look for in first is really meant to be a way in which we can see everything else. After worship today at 12:30 at Popo's Restaurant, just north of Bernie, some of us, and you're welcome to come, let Dave Statham know and he'll make a reservation for you. We're going to be at Popo's to have, well, I'm going to have chicken fried steak. Well, if what was first in my life was chicken fried steak, I'd be seeing all of you as chicken fried steak. Keeping things in perspective in a right order is important for us. Therefore, a first things first, as the saying goes, has a way of helping us to see everything else as it should be. But what is that first thing? Well, Jesus said it's first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, meaning all of our desires as needed, will be added unto you. Well, okay, but what is the kingdom of God? If I'm to seek the kingdom of God first, well, what is that? Well, you notice that Jesus said seek, and therefore a seeker can help us answer that question. That's who we find in the passage that Wayne and Mickey read for us this morning. It was a seeker who asked Jesus, what's first? What is most important? And it is in the seeking of what is most important by which then we are shaped and formed as people. God answers us in ways that draws us close. God answers the questions that you ask. What are the questions that you ask God publicly? Like in a Bible study class or over a coffee break at work. What are the questions that you ask God privately in the soliloquy of your own mind? The questions that come to you when life is good and easy or when it's hard and difficult, the questions that you bring to God are questions that you're wanting to answer, have answers. And God is wanting to give you an answer in which you can hear his response. Connie Nistler, beautiful long-term member in the life of her church, has shared two stories by which I have her permission to share with you. The first happened the day after 9/11. It was her son who had been fighting cancer for 2.5 years, and the day after 9/11, her son died. She assimilated the death of her own son and then the grief of our nation and world in the midst of 9/11. And she went on to get through her daily routine, but that question was in her mind, God, why did I have to watch my son suffer and die? The question occurred and occurred. And as she was working through her exercise routine in the morning, finally God spoke to her in a way in the stillness of his voice into the bigness of her soul and said, well, what makes you so special? I had to watch my son die. For God, Connie, that was a clear way for God to get a message across to her. And immediately in that moment, she had an attitude adjustment in the center of her soul. She went inside and her husband could tell that there was a difference. And he asked, what happened to you? And she said, well, I had a little talk with God. 10 years later, he would die. He was in the middle of a night's sleep, and her husband passed away, and she saw that he had passed peacefully in the evening, and she could feel both a grief and a calmness in her soul. And then it was as though a day or two later she could hear the voice of God saying to her, your work is finished. I have him now. She'd given care to him and held him close. God may bring the message to you in a variety of ways. It can be in the middle of working in nature and outdoors, and the glory of God's creation speaks to you, or in the midst of a Bible study, in the midst of asking God a question while you're reading the scriptures. That's what the seeker was doing in Mark 12. And what we discover among the seeker is that he was really listening to God. And that determines how much we can understand what he is communicating to us. If all we're hearing is the noise of our worry, if all we can hear is the pain of our arthritis, if all we can hear is the ache in our bank account, if all we can hear is what we haven't heard that we've been wanting to hear, then we're not going to really be listening in to that voice of God, speaking a pure message to go deep into our soul. As you've heard me say time and again, that when we begin to pray, and if we pray out the worries of our life, and we feel just as worried after our prayer as we did when we began to pray, then you can know who you prayed to was the idol of worry. Because when we bring our worry to God, he will say to us, leave it with me. I will form my answer in you. I will work with it. You may feel you find yourself picking it up again tomorrow, but it will be different when you pick up that worry tomorrow. It will be reshaped by my love for you. Really to listen to God. Well, first, what we discover in this passage of the seeker who wanted to know what was first, I mean, he was tired by all this, do I go here, or do I go there, or what do I do here? You know, always trying to find that one secret. And so he had been listening to Jesus. And he realized this rabbi, this teacher, was incredibly wise and in close to the Father. And so he brought the question of questions to him. And Jesus looked into his soul and realized he was really listening. He was really paying attention. And so Jesus told him. When we go deep to call out what is most true, then what we discover is that God's love wins. So Jesus began with the Shema. That's the Hebrew word for hear. He was quoting out of Deuteronomy in the first part, in which out of the work of the law of the Hebrew scripture, said, hear, O Israel. The Lord is one, united, not divided. He is whole, complete. The Lord, your God, is one. Now, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, your entire soul. And as you love God in this way, well, everything else will become most clear to you. And then you'll discover that you can love your neighbor as you love yourself. Going deep can be troubling. I had a friend who's part of our church, and the morning of 9/11, she was in a nursing care unit, and her mind was slipping into dementia, and her nephew went to see her, and early in the morning of what we now know that historic day, but it just seemed like any other 9/11. She asked him, are we at war? No, Aunt, we're not at war. Well, I just have felt it during the night. It seemed like we were at war. And soon we would be. She would leave this earth 2 days later. But somehow in this mysterious working of God in the Spirit, to one who is slipping away from earth and entering into heaven, she heard on the radio waves, if you will, of a heavenly message to earth. Trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. But what she also heard is that I'm with you. And so as we are really hearing God to connect both our head, our body, our soul together with others and ourselves, then we begin to hear each other differently. Mary Hamilton, one of the wonderful servants in the life of her church, singing in our choir, she embroiders in handkerchiefs. And whenever someone is baptized, she'll embroider the name and the date and the baptismal verse of the one who's being baptized. Just does it quietly, and we give it to the person. It's kind of a memory piece. So that's kind of like Mary. And so she was at a local restaurant, and visiting with friends, and it was one of those kind of conversations with friends where you really listen deeply to each other, and you tell stories, you laugh, you cry, and almost 2.5 hours had gone by. She's walking to her car, kind of relishing those frequent conversations. A man came up to her, a younger man came up to her and said, "Ma'am, I'm not asking for money, I'm just hungry. Can you help me get some food?" She said, "I don't have any money," and she walked onto her car, and then she thought, "Well, there is something I can do." She said, "If you'll follow me to Whataburger," you know, that's the Texas bar hamburger place to eat, you know. "If you'll follow me to Whataburger, then I'll get you some food to eat." And she went through the drive-thru, and she got the man what his order was, and he was in the parking lot. She gave it to him, and she gave him a gift card, and then she said, "And God loves you," revealing the reason why she heard him, that there was something she could do, and her mind engaged it. "What is it I can do? I'm a little uncomfortable, but, and I think I could do this. I've got time to do this. I've got the resources to do this. He has a genuine need. He was very humble in his spirit. I can do this." And so she did that. See, our mind and heart and spirit and body all brought together in the unity of a love for the Lord that brings us into a love and awareness to people and connects us to a love of ourselves, a genuine, beautiful, deep kind of love for ourselves. Well, that's the stuff that changes the world. As C-Mac began our service, he spoke to the grief that we feel from New Zealand of people in worship. And what Muslims believe in some ways is very, very different from what I believe and you believe. But no one deserves what they experience. As a matter of fact, part of what we did here, anticipating this changing world that we're a part of, we at Trinity and myself took a front line in beginning a new faith leaders organization. It's called the Alliance of the Interfaith San Antonio Alliance, in which right now we're working to help create affordable housing for people, and we're working with mosques and Jews and Sikhs and Christians and all along the way. The reason we can do this is because I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we're really clear about who we are in Christ and the way of love of God in our life and the centrality of Christ in our heart, we're free to relate to everyone and to see it for what it is. And not sacrificing belief, but putting our belief in a place to create it. And part of what I've said is, matter of fact, I'm leading the effort of this part of it, is saying we need to be friends with each other. We need to know how to text each other and call each other, to be in a relationship with each other, to help model a friendship among people of different faith backgrounds. And all the while, very clearly, I'm a passionate believer in Christ who shares the faith. But that's the power of being in relationship, the power of modeling in an age that's gone wild with hatred. That's what Jesus was living in. In that very time, in that very way, he was living in that age, and what he spoke to them was this message. He was soon going to be crucified on the cross. But knowing his mission then gave him the freedom to be radical in his love. And where does that bring us? Well, first we've gone deep. And then we've really heard. And that enables us to find ourselves standing on the edge of the kingdom of God. Where else would you want to be? Now, there are some people who are confident that when we enter the pearly gates and the first question asked to us by St. Peter, as the story goes, is, are you a Texan? Well, no, but, well, the next important question is, did you get there as fast as you could? And as fun as that is, it's important for us to know what is really asked of us. Did you know me? Did you really know me? Did you really let me be first in your life? Did you find yourselves in the mystery of being on the edge of the kingdom of God and then taking the next step to enter into this kingdom of God? That's why this day called St. Patrick's Day is this remarkable story of someone who found himself on the edge of the kingdom of God and then he entered into the kingdom of God. I mean, the first thing on St. Patrick's Day is we're supposed to put on green, right? And I don't know. I looked at all my ties and I didn't choose a green tie. I wasn't thinking through it all. And but a special friend in Sunday school class saw my need and they gave me a little green star here. Right? Otherwise, I'd have to pull up my billfold and show that green dollar bill I have. Speaking of that, we're going to have an offering later in the service today, and so we can do that. And so it's St. Patrick's Day, remember, here. And so the sense of this, there really was a Patrick of St. Patrick. I mean, I once was a part of American Society of Church History Conference, and national gatherers had come, and the focus was around who was St. Patrick. And their representative from Harvard brought a message, and the message is the guy really lived. He really lived. The story is actually true. He was a British citizen. He was kidnapped by pirates, taken to that distant land the Brits did not like, of Ireland. There he was enslaved and took care of hogs. And then he snuck away and got his freedom, went back to his home place, back in England. And then he discovered that the voice of God had spoken to him. Patrick, you know those people. You know those people. You know how they think and how they feel. You know their ways. You know how you can bring my message to them where they can learn about the love of Christ. Much to his surprise, he found himself getting on a ship, crossing that Irish Channel again, coming on the shores of Ireland with the gospel of Christ to live among the people that once had held him captive. And it took. He shared the gospel in a way that there was one convert, there was a family that believed, there was a village that believed, there was a neighbor region that believed. Then the message got through the whole region that there was something about a former slave who loved God enough and saw this thing called the kingdom of God with enough clarity that he risked himself and came back to live among us and to show us the way. First, the power of first. For from it, we may see everything else most clearly. As our deacons come forward and we prepare for communion, what we discover and what we see is that Jesus, helping the disciples that were soon to be traumatized by recognizing that his life was going to lead to a death on the cross, that nails would be driven into his hands, they would see the ache of history sweating from his life on the cross as though the Romans and the power brokers had won. But how could they see it for what it really was? Well, he gave them a meal. He gave them a meal in which he said, "This is my bread, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is poured for you." Now, when you see my crucifixion, know that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Know that my death then is the offering of a love of God that has the power for grace to conquer sin, life to defeat death, and hope to whoop up on despair. That's the power of the Messiah. And then, after the resurrection, you'll gather and you'll take of the bread and the cup, and I want you to do so in a remembrance of me.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.